Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And welcome to the AEW Rampage preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0 pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to Rampage tonight. So you know what that means. Give me a beat. More releases. A sad day. At least we have Rampage. Wahey! Punky Kingston face to face. And the show's live up in this place. Could John Silver win? Maybe. He's up against Adam Cole, baby. To beat the bunny, Velvet better wear skates.
And God bless the United States.
Why skates? You complete tosser.
I'll be honest, I wrote the preview. It's been a bit of a busy day, understandably, today in What Culture Towers. Wrote my actual notes to the preview, and then about 2 minutes before we came in, I went, oh, bollocks, the rap! I think we might have to bin off the rap pretty quickly because I keep forgetting about it.
You're creating an expectation amongst the listenership for a weekly Rampage rap. You have made your bed. Now you've got to put some hot fire in it.
I don't think that's... I'm creating a monster is what it is. Anyway, Rampage, in better news, live tonight. In worse news... he's only advertised 2 matches. Thoughts?
Well, Tony Khan has said that he's going to absolutely stack Dark Elevation to make it a good experience live.
Cool, I won't be watching that.
Well, I will. I watch selectively Dark Elevation. Yeah. I go from the buzz, I go from the guys I'm most interested in. But, like, it's got to be pretty awesome Dark Elevation. Really awesome Dark Elevation.
Like, the things they've put on this show is intriguing. I'm not sat there going, not bothered. Like, I want to see you advance us in the TBS title tournament. We'll get into Adam Cole versus John Silver because I know you've got things to say off the back of Dynamite about that. And unquestionably, Eddie Kingston, CM Punk face-to-face, I'm tuning in. It's thrown me for a loop because I'm so used to it being like, bang, 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 and this, and this, and this. And it's like, how are they going to find all this time to put it in? And I almost didn't have 5 bullet points, which speaks volumes. And I can splurge some of that out when SmackDown advertises absolutely nothing.
How does AEW fix Rampage?
I genuinely went, no, we've done that quite a lot.
Instead, I think everyone's got my opinion on that one.
Instead, I'm just going to ask you this straight off the bat because, you know, of the predominant news story today. Do you think AEW respond at all to these WWE releases or the prevailing take regarding WWE being the bastards that they are?
Do you mean via some kind of inside gag or by eventually recruiting some of the people?
A little from column A, a little from column B, to be honest.
I'm not sure.
It feels like they've sort of moved past that now. I.e., like, you know, you think back to like Brodie Lee's obvious parody, let's say, of Vince McMahon early on. And then there's the occasional jab. There probably will be something about this in being the Elite.
They still do the whole bit where they look at the tellies at an awkward angle and they say the odd thing.
I suppose this is more, you know, people losing their jobs rather than, you know, just taking shots at the opposition.
It's one of those where if you, even if they, in this instance, punch up, they're still indirectly, like, reminding the wrestlers who might even be watching the show that they've just lost their jobs. It has to be a pretty good gag to not be in bad taste. Since we're low on preview material, I will give a handful of people that I may or may not want to see in All Elite Wrestling following this most recent wave of releases. Not many, which is potentially harsh, but, you know, I want to see more Riho and I want to see more Serena Deeb. Yeah. And the more names you bring in, the chances of watching Serena Deeb wrestle way more often than she should be recede. Riho, I don't get what they're not doing with Riho.
Mm.
I understand that a schedule split and it's hard as a result to map like long-term story arcs on her behalf. But at the same time, she was like a really strong demo draw early. She always was super over in arenas. I just think it's an indictment of their creative process. Not the creative process, their intent. I'm sure that Omega's lobbying to get her on the show, but, you know, it all feels to this day like a little bit of a tokenistic gesture, the women's division on the whole. And, you know, the usual excuse, it's not an excuse, it's an explanation of, you know, because of the misogynistic gears of pro wrestling over the 21st century and how we're only just about getting away from all that. The talent pool's diminished compared to the men's, compared to even the tag teams. And their reasoning is, we have more male draws than female draws. Book Riho really well.
Yeah.
She was genuinely a needle mover in those quarter hours, so that excuse doesn't wash in her case. With that in mind, I would like to see Kevin Steen and Kyle O'Reilly in All Elite Wrestling and featured prominently on that show. I think they're both incredibly talented in their own unique ways. Neither of them were part of this wave of releases, but by all accounts, they're ready to go within 2 or 3 months. So I'd want to accommodate them as priorities. Keith Lee, absolutely sign Keith Lee. It's one of those where it's like you forget how talented people are. This is what WWE, this is why they're so useless as a wrestling promotion. They're so useless at promoting talent that through, he's not even been on Raw that much, but being on it not that much is still enough to completely stigmatize a performer as not what they once were or woefully miscast, badly underutilized. Like the Keith Lee who masqueraded as Keith Lee on Raw was just a generic big man as a babyface or a heel. You totally forgot how futuristic he was. The juxtaposition of his work was always just electrifying, but you can't have people of his size doing moves that he could do because it doesn't fit into a 1980s adjacent mold that Vince McMahon will always adhere to. So as much as it feels like, it does feel like they have a job to rehab his aura. I mean, it's Keith Lee.
Yeah.
I was never the biggest fan of his promos, if I'm being perfectly honest, but, and it's a promo promotion as well.
Yeah, it's fair.
So it's not, I've always maintained the line, it's never as simple as great wrestler enters, great wrestling promotion, automatically a success. It's like, it's a big time promo promotion if you can't get it done on the microphone. And some people like Keith Lee, like a lot of people really connected with Keith Lee. Not just what an absolutely thrilling attraction wrestler, given the feats of which he shouldn't be capable. A lot of people really connected with him, always seem like the nicest guy. I found his promo was a little bit dorky, if I'm being brutally perfectly honest, but that's just me. A lot of people really, really loved him, and I loved his work. If I'm Tony Khan, I'm getting Keith Lee from that crop. I'm also tempted to just, for banger for a banger's sake, because last week's Dynamite, this week's Dynamite rather, was just so conveniently angle-driven. I've often said episodic to a fault. Sometimes I just want a banger for a banger's sake. I would get Lucha Brothers versus Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado on next week's Dynamite. It can't be next week's Dynamite because of the no-competes. Yeah. The second their no-competes are up, I would get them to work a match with the Lucha Brothers and just say, opening match, no commercial break, 14, 15 minutes. Oh. I want you to go out there totally motivated, tear the goddamn roof off that building, work the absolute best match you possibly can. Because what an embarrassment of WWE that would be. Not just, oh, it'll be fun to watch them be like in the mud, air quotes. At some point, watching wrestlers who WWE did nothing with thrive in the competition has to alert the non-fed-pilled WWE fans. Those WWE fans that sort of, that aren't the 1.5 million base. It's like a sort of a in between of the 1.5 and the 1.8 and 9 that Raw usually does. A good 400,000 are like, I can skip this some weeks, obviously, look at the ratings. Like, just continue to embarrass WWE at what they do. So those are my thoughts on the releases and how they figure into AEW.
Do you think tonight's show starts, especially because of the weird, you know, way we present Rampage in terms of... You know,
your raps.
No, I mean in terms of... They put the biggest thing arguably on the show first just because of the timings of it. Do you think the show starts, bang, Cult of Personality, he comes out and says, Eddie Kingston, get your ass out here, basically, for this face-to-face. Do you think that's how they start the show, or do they save that for later, maybe?
It's weird because it's 98% of the time. They've done it on Dynamite on occasion, but not for a long, long time. They haven't started with a match. Obviously, the first dance was... an obvious exception to the usual format. So I've got no idea. It's a good, it's an interesting question because well, I was going to say the bunny in the red velvet doesn't feel like a main event, but it would outdraw Roman Reigns.
Yes. So
maybe there is something in that. Who knows? Because, like, I'm not being funny. The bunny versus red velvet is not a television main event. Maybe they save the face to face until the last quarter of an hour. And then it has like a pull apart brawl to give you a bit of action to send the show off the air, like in a sort of a, an arranged scene of chaos a la WCW Nitro's heyday. Cool silver hot opener, bunny red velvet in the middle, some kind of really intense promo exchange leading to a pull apart brawl as it goes off the air is how I would book it. But I'm not Tony Khan.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Well, let's talk about that opening then. Adam Cole, John Silver, you were not a fan of what they did on Dynamite to build to this, and yet I'm sure the match will be great tonight.
It is, but these are things I used to say about NXT.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, John Silver is going to have to attack the neck. He looks opportunistic, a little bit vulture-like if he goes for the neck and the head. Why wouldn't he, though? It's just they've booked themselves into a really stupid position that's either going to make John Silver look adjacent to a heel if he goes after the injured body part, or like a moron if he doesn't. They've done him no favours whatsoever by doing that concerto, that pointless concerto. It's like I'm from the Valley.
Yeah, it was baffling to me, like you say, when you pointed it out when we were reviewing Dynamite, of you doing that and saying, yeah, it'll be back in 48 hours for a match with John Silver. Who
it's, I honestly think it's not as bad as the December 18th Dark Order angle. But I was always of the belief that the Dark Order in their original incarnation, conceptually, it kind of made a lot of sense. The execution was dire. The gimmick looked goofy aesthetically. Grayson and Uno weren't yet stars to get it over. The actual Creepers, according to Grayson on Talk as Jericho, was so dickheaded about the whole thing. They were novices who just wanted to get on telly, lied about the level of experience, so they couldn't do anything, but they just said, oh, we can do something. I mean, it's not on them, it's on Tony Khan for not vetting
everything. Wave their arms and make a chair for Evil Uno.
Absolutely. Like, it was on Tony Khan to genuinely check what was going on in his television program was acceptable. And I like the idea of wins and losses having such gravity that the losers actually feel like losers in a real-life universe, and then they get preyed upon, and they grow in numbers. It wasn't a bad idea. It was just a horrendous execution. Something like this is worse, because at least the Dark Order was a very, very, very ambitious and genuinely quite hilarious failure. But at least there was a thought process, an ambition, something that worked against, or like with, sorry, the wins and losses matter framework. This is stupid booking that I'm mystified. There's a lot of clever people in that room. Tony Khan is possibly the most intelligent person to have been involved in pro wrestling in forever. How has he booked this?
Like I said on the review, what was the problem with just having him be hit with a kill switch? Hit with a kill switch on the stage. He wants to get revenge on Christian Cage, obviously, but he's still physically going to be okay to face someone who maybe, Silver did later on in the night, takes a little jibe at him getting his ass kicked.
The only way it only makes a vague amount of sense is that, even then it doesn't really, because it was the Young Bucks who storyline injured Christian Cage to excuse him from AEW duties to go and finish business with the Impact title with Josh Alexander. The only thing I can fathom was the inspiration behind this was, right, we need Christian to go measure for measure. You damage my neck and write me out for however many weeks. I'll come after one of your boys and break their necks. But, like, don't do it 48 hours before that boy has a goddamn match on Rampage against a babyface. Like, if Adam Cole's a goddamn babyface and he gets a concerto and he sells it the whole way through the match, maybe. It's just the stupidest thing they've ever done. But prospective match quality, I honestly think there should be unbelievable great form. The whole goddamn bit. Like, Adam Cole has got an absolutely exceptional face. Beautiful, but also animated.
Very good, yeah.
Perfect for television. John Silver's also got a great, like, bulging eyes, total hyped up, fired up face. When John Silver makes the John Silver comeback, which is so good that you can refer to it in shorthand, Adam Cole's selling of getting his dick put in the dirt, almost getting pinned. I expect this to be an incredibly fast bomb fest, worked at an absolutely blistering pace, elevated beyond a sort of a competitive back and forth match layout by the fact that both these guys' faces rule.
The sneak peek we got of this when we had the Dark Order versus the Elite was great when Silver just sort of out muscled Adam Cole and he was like, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Who I am? Yeah. Who you think you are? I am, sort of thing.
PWG match is what I'm expecting. Just fought at an absolutely incredible, heart-pounding, head-spinning pace. Elevated into TV because it won't do that much banter. They'll do a little bit of banter at the start, like Silver will do budge. Maybe Adam Cole could go boom, budge, boom, budge, boom, budge. And then dispense with that, do a proper great TV sprint. Adam Cole, stinger, injury and all, win.
Yeah, obviously. And off the back of that, if we were recording this podcast yesterday, I'd be able to say it's 9 days till full gear. Unfortunately, it's 8 days. So that sort of ruins it. But it's close to full gear. We've got two Rampages and a Dynamite. Do you think this is the place that they set up the match at Full Gear for Cole, or do they save that maybe for Dynamite?
See all that again.
In terms of setting up, presumably to get Cole on the card with Full Gear, you know, just over a week away, is tonight, like, does he post-match try and wreck John Silver and Cage makes the save?
What if he does? Because if he tries to wreck John Silver at the post-match, I think, well, John Silver can have a match on Sunday. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what they've done. Yeah. That's what they've done. A ridiculous thing. So I can watch later on the night Eddie Kingston put the beating on CM Punk, right? And stretch a job or whatever. I will take that seriously because I trust Punk and Kingston to sell it really well. Within the parameters of the Adam Cole character, I, for a while, will not be able to take seriously any attempts to injure somebody.
Mm.
I think, what did he do? I'll do a concerto to draw out Christian on John Silver. It's like, well, you can, it'd be fine.
Throw him off the stage and he'll be back the week after, like Jungle Boy.
A lot of odd booking in AEW at the minute.
Mm.
Maybe there's a podcast in it at some point next week, depending.
Who knows? But if you want to read about, you know, as we're talking about the fall of AEW, the rise of it, you can read about it in Michael Sujuk's book.
Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW is available for pre-order right now. 120,000 insightful, passionate words all about the factors that led to the formation of All Elite Wrestling. The two-year lifespan of its seminal legacy already can be purchased at whatculture.bigcartel.com. Signed and unsigned versions. So I genuinely think for how much graft to put into it.
Oh, come on.
It's a bargain.
Yeah.
It's an absolute bargain.
Imagine, like, not getting a signed version.
Imagine just not buying it full stop.
Oh, come
imagine
on,
imagine spending Christmas Day, the wife and the kids, and the husband and the kids, or the partner and the kids going, well, you don't have kids, maybe. Mother-in-law, mothers, fathers, everyone gets really bloody annoying at Christmas after a while. Imagine not. Waiting for them patiently to go to bloody bed. Get like an intimate reading light.
Mm.
Maybe if you're lucky enough, crack some logs on the fire. Get a turkey sandwich.
Nice. Leftovers.
An already dry meat if you don't cook it perfectly. Do the friends thing at works, the moist maker. You ever tried that?
Oh, yeah.
Bread, turkey, gravy soaked middle bread, turkey bread. Eat that nice glass of sherry. Ooh, for Christmas.
Treat yourself.
Amaretto's.
I'm a port man at Christmas.
Port, sherry, amaretto. Whatever you tipple. Or, you know, if you don't drink, don't drink. Just read the book.
Instead of a selection box, what about a selection of the books? Their best matches that you talk about in the book. Thoughts?
None.
Okay. Who advances in the TBS title tournament, Red Velvet or the Bunny?
I'm principally interested in watching this match finish without any injury aggravated by Red Velvet. I've watched her almost scorpion herself way too many times.
Yes.
For how infrequently she's wrestled for this promotion. I genuinely think she's got that which can't be taught, which is just as well, because in 2 years she really could be a player. Fire, real personality, a real sense of like intent behind her moves. And a commitment that almost has too much conviction behind it, because she really tries to go all out to the cost of her gut. She hates her own neck. And it's like, it's fine to hate your own neck if you're like Kota Ibushi. And you're an absolute genius to land with like millimeter precision at the angles that look horrendous, but he can bump. Like Red Velvet, I'm not expecting a great amount of match quality. I'm worried that Red Velvet is going to hurt herself one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should. I'd say there are very few genuinely great women's promotions. They should really, now that Japan looks to be beating the coronavirus at last, or at least accepting that it's pretty hard to beat, let's just open everything up anyway. But no, the case figures really are strong over there. I would get Red Velvet would be one of the list of names I would get to work with Stardom or
great shout, yeah.
Whomever.
Wherever. But she's got to go through to face Cargill, because that's who's waiting in the next round.
Yes, and all those things I've said didn't apply to Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet because their exchanges in the Shaq match were great, and they had a singles match follow-up, if you remember, subsequent to that, that was the best Jade Cargill had ever looked. So they had great chemistry, and potentially the reason why this has been booked is to just redo it because they know it's a good match.
Yeah, I put my house on Red Velvet. I love the bunny. And no doubt they're going to try some sort of shenanigans, no doubt, with her and maybe Penelope Ford at ringside. But I think Red Velvet advances because Red Velvet, Jade Cargill, and particularly following on from that, maybe even Thunder Rosa versus Jade Cargill in the semis. Who knows?
Just mad to think that the head of the table is going out in the first round of a tournament. It's genuinely gutsy booking decision, that.
Right, finally.
It's time for the main event.
Thanks, Nails.
Eddie Kingston, CM Punk face-to-face.
I'm hyped and a little bit worried about this, you know.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
Because, look, I'm not saying that Eddie Kingston is, like, remotely unprofessional or whatever. Like, some of his peers have said this in the past, but, you know, yeah. Since he's arrived in AEW, he's arrived as a really matured guy. And he's just an incredible worker. Like, he's just one of the last all-time great workers, is Eddie Kingston. He's the very best, or among the very best, of making you think that, you know, in your rational head, that wrestling's real, but wrestling isn't real. But obviously, it's real to him.
Yeah, no one's told Eddie.
John Moxley and Eddie Kingston are legitimately close in real life. CM Punk's promo on Dynamite transitioned between Moxley to Kingston and said one had a valid excuse for being there, the other didn't. Is Eddie Kingston going to really psych himself up too much one of these days? Because he's going to be like genuinely, he's really emotionally affected by what's happened to John Moxley.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thread of the John Moxley thing, like it was used as a bridge to get to this fictional development on Dynamite. I'm genuinely fascinated about what I think the crux of the issue is going to be. The general gist of this segment is that Eddie Kingston's going to say something to the effect of, like, where's the real CM Punk? When he said, I know you, I don't think he said anything. I don't think he says anything by accident. I think that was a deliberate, like, I know you. You're not this stupid, happy, glad to be here guy. You're a dick. Everyone has said at some point in your career that you're a dick. I know the truth, you're a dick. And Eddie, and they can have a big, massive spar from there once the emotions are raised, heightened, temperatures raised, all the rest of it. But genuinely, the fact that Eddie Kingston wears his heart on his sleeve, the Moxley story's been touched upon in this fictional story, like, this is going to be some incredibly, on a knife edge, emotionally intense stuff. I can't wait for this. Like, it's one of those things where we know how good both men are on the microphone, for one. But two, everyone's waiting for CM Punk to be a little bit more like the CM Punk everyone remembers. It's awesome that he's having this great time. And we, the best of us, the good faith lot, are very patient in the slow burn story. People want a glimpse of the real CM Punk. Eddie Kingston's the man to evoke it from him. And I just think, given the expectations and the appetite for this version of CM Punk to return against this partner of a dance partner of a promo guy, anything less than a 5-star promo exchange is kind of going to, like, be a disappointment.
I agree. We talked the other day on our questions you most want answered about how the build to Full Gear outside of the title picture has been kind of underwhelming. I think this has the ability to sell that pay-per-view.
I was going
to
say the exact same thing.
In an instant, and it's going to be one of those ones where not only do you not want to miss a second of it in terms of what these guys say, you know, you think back to the Moxley Kingston build to their pay-per-view match. And it's also going to be the ones where it's like, don't blink, because someone's snapping because of what someone else says. And as much as you think, oh, it'll probably be Eddie Kingston because Punk will push his buttons, remarks. Like you say, Punk's got a point to prove. And if people think that AEW have botched CM Punk, there's a great article at whatculture.com that explains why they haven't.
Indeed, it's entitled, Why AEW Have Not Botched CM Punk. Because what they're doing, that people are resisting this, because they're either too stupid or it completely undermines the narrative they've tried to spin for the past 2 years. With the CM Punk arc, AEW are telling a tremendous sports-oriented story. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain why, and I already have. at whatculture.com/WWE.
Mm. Can't wait for this tonight now. We've gone through all this. And we'll be reviewing it, of course, on Monday in the AEW Rampage review. Subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For that, where you can also find our preview of SmackDown and our discussion from earlier on in the day with myself and both the Dudley Boys all about these recent WWE releases. But let us know your thoughts ahead of Rampage tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. And watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
And you can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Don't forget, whatculture.bigcartel.com is the place to go to pre-order that excellent book coming your way in time for Christmas, all about AEW. But this has been the Rampage Preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.